From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, hauntings. Get ready for that. Well, we begin this program with a special tribute and dedication to the memory of Art Bell. He passed away 3 years ago on this date. Truly almost unbelievable. At coasttocoastam.com, you will find in the highlight reel a special tribute, an audio tribute that Lex has put together. When you have some time, go take a listen to that. Art Bell passed away 3 years ago this date. Here's what's happening. U.S. federal health agencies have recommended pausing the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine for at least a few days after six women under the age of 50 developed rare blood clots after receiving the shots, dealing a setback to efforts to tackle the pandemic. There are reports that one person may have also died. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. This is a mess, John.
Well, you know, this is the same problem that the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine had. And it took the European Medicines Agency about 3 days in order to pause and then give the green light again. And I suspect that the pause will be relatively brief. But, George, if you're somebody who has some kind of vaccine wariness, some kind of, you know, concern, and you hear that people are developing, you know, cerebral blood clots, embolisms can occur anywhere in the lungs and the legs, but I mean, you get one in the brain, and that's the equivalent of like an infarct stroke. You know, you're toast pretty much. I mean, I don't care how many blood thinners they give you. So, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be very comfortable taking a vaccine where there was any risk, zero risk. So the idea that, you know, there was six cases in around 7,000 shots that J&J have given in the United States is alarming. But, you know, the way the CDC and the FDA work, and you know this from a lot of drug approvals and whatever, they see that the benefits outweigh the costs. So if you sacrifice a few people in the process, you're still doing more good than bad because you're vaccinating people and preventing them from hospitalizations. And that Janssen shot, by the way, is old school. I mean, that's a adenovirus. You take a flu virus, basically, and they create a, they try to develop a spike protein from that in order to prevent the COVID from happening. It's the same method, basically, that was done by AstraZeneca, but it's identical to what was done by the Russian Sputnik V vaccine. And that's the vaccine that the European Union is absolutely refusing to use because, you know, they don't have enough data on the outcome. Well, they got plenty of data right now on AstraZeneca, and they got plenty of data on the J&J shot, and there's no reports with the Sputnik V vaccine of having any side effects at all. So, you know, I think what you're looking at here is this. There's a brief pause right now in the vaccination frenzy that's going on, but it's going to resume quickly, and I think that J&J shot will be back on the market soon.
Yeah, several states already, John, have stopped the J&J shots already. Well, they say brushing your teeth twice a day, regular trips to the dentist, help keep Alzheimer's disease away. It has to do with gum disease and bacteria, but that's what they say. Just take heed on that one. Two drivers in Pennsylvania engaged in road rage confrontation, left one man stabbed to death, another in police custody. Folks, if you're in a road rage episode, just get out of the way, just keep driving, and don't get involved in some kind of a fight. President Joe Biden wants to withdraw all 2,500 remaining U.S. troops from Afghanistan out by 9/11, according to a senior defense official. We have been there in October as of 20 years. It's a good idea to get out of there. Iraq as well, we should. Consumer prices shot higher in March, given a boost by a strong economic recovery and a year-over-year comparisons to a time when the COVID-19 pandemic was about to throttle the U.S. economy. Let's check in with investment advisor and author of America's Financial Reckoning Day, Charles Koppes. Charles, the news still sounds strong with the economy.
Well, the inflation figure has been released today. That is the CPI. And this is an important metric for the government, George, because Social Security uses it for their cost of living adjustment, as people know. And they always want to lower than the bond yields or actual real inflation. For example, this CPA was a 0.6% gain, about 7% annual. Most of that was gasoline. I guess people would see that. But the core CPI is what they really like to focus on. That was only 0.3%. This excludes food and energy, home prices, and other factors. So it's really not a really good figure to be using. But, you know, just since January, the M1 money supply, this is the most liquid currency, physical currency, and cash accounts, went from $6 trillion to $18 trillion. I mean, that's just a new record in 100 years. And, you know, why is this? Many people are pointing to people are shifting from savings to checking. The stimulus checks are in there. The corporations are getting into cash because they want to get out of the way for the new tax laws and things like that. But this is so we have low inflation, but this has more to do really with the velocity of money as this gets more complicated. And that's how money is turned over in the economy.
Let's hope we can pull it together, Chuck. We're going to come and talk to you next week. Chuck's website, of course, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Yesterday, as I was talking with Sir Charles Schulz III about Mars and that incredible little helicopter, that drone that was flying all over the place, today NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory says that the Mars helicopter was in need of a software update and that a new date for its historic flight would be announced next week. But what a great device that is. Let's talk prophecy in a moment. John Hogue with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. John Hogue with us, writing on the subject of the occult, parapsychology, mysticism. He is an expert and world authority on the prophecies of Nostradamus as well, a best-selling author too. He was last on with me on New Year's Eve 2020, rolling into 2021. John, how's the year unfolding for us? What do you think?
Well, it's one of the things that we talked about, I think, was the astrological theming of 2020 going into 2021. I mean, we were all kind of, everybody was shut down by the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, which kind of, you know, layman's terms, kind of had this pretty heavy lingering, nobody really was certain what was going to happen with COVID and with the elections. And it reached a climax during the inauguration of the next president's 4 years. And then it moved into a completely different, lingering, intense aspect, which is Saturn squared. It's Saturn's in Aquarius, squared the ruler of Aquarius in Taurus, which means that we moved from, and I was saying this on New Year's Eve, we moved from everybody shut down to a year where the theme is everybody shut up.
Yeah.
You know, intolerance, you know, when, I mean, here we have again, you know, it's guided by people following their ideology rather than statesmanship. It tends to be people have excessive hopes of things being a certain way that they imagine it should be, and if it's not the way they imagine it, they try to force it to be that way. So, you know, it feeds cancel culture, it feeds a division of the two halves of America even further. And then you add to that what's going on in the world, you know, with submarines trying to foul up the Nord Stream 2 from NATO, with the two important developing first of many, what I've been predicting, I think I did back in last day of the year, you know, that we're living in a really volatile period where we now really have a new Cold War that's datable to what's going on currently with the Ukrainian buildup that actually caused the Russian buildup in response. It's not being stated that way in most of the Western media, because a lot of the Western media is owned by Raytheon and other military-industrial complex financiers, both sides, left and right of the media, and especially in cable news. And so what's not being said to people is how this thing is building up. So again, intolerance, pushing an agenda rather than opening your eyes to what's really there. And the very, very dangerous step that we're in for the next 4 years of, if there ever is a third world war from all of this, it happens from one single word, if I were to theme the word, and it's misinformation.
Exactly. And John, I want to commend you, by the way, because when you were on with me in November, and before we get into this plague that we're going to talk about tonight, you said that Joe Biden would win the popular vote, and he indeed did. And subject to fraud, which you pointed out was a possibility, you talked about the possibility that Donald Trump could get the Electoral College. But I'm going to give you hits on that.
Okay.
You like that?
Oh, well, yeah. The funny thing about it is that in the Presidential Predictions book that I wrote and published just before the election, so it would be date-tagged, I kind of warned people, this would be the first time since 1968 that I couldn't actually tell people what the margin of the popular vote was. So I predicted
right.
I wasn't going to be able to do it in this 14th try, because it was going to be a mess. And no matter who won, one side or the other would cry foul. The other thing, too, is that what happened back in 2000 is I made a similarly upsetting statement for a lot of people, controversial because it could not at first be proven. That was that the count that happened in Florida, I said if they actually recounted the entire state, they'd find out that Gore won. Now, fortunately, that was 20 years farther back when things were not as crazy as they are now, and
right.
all the hanging chads were recounted of the double votes, and actually Gore won by 76 votes. So, but I anticipated that, saying, I'm not sure I'm going to, the way this is going, with the way people can't even discuss it without having themselves deplatformed, just shows the kind of intolerance of this Saturn-Uranus square after the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction that's just kind of ongoing throughout most of this year into the next year. So, you know, but the one good thing I want to say, and it's a very important thing, because squares are growing points. You know, in the hands of mobs, squares usually predictably do their bad potentials. Mob psychology, woke psychology, you know, extremists, this and that is the mainstream. But what it does to the individual is, and each individual can use this to center themselves in the cyclone of this historical time and find an inner peace. So for those who want to see the truth as all their dreams are being blown out the window by these times, these times are challenging times that are very good for people who want to know what is real rather than what is
That's right.
transitory in their lives. And they're one moment and gone the next, like soap bubbles, like economic bubbles.
John, a year ago, you started working on your 51st book, Nostradamus, Coronavirus and the Pandemic Prophecies. How are you doing on that? Almost done, isn't it?
Almost done, yeah. It's going to be out, I think it's May. I'm kind of shooting for May Day, appropriately, I guess.
Perfect.
Is coming out. And already a number of the things that I wrote. I always date tag my prophecies before I publish them so that I can prove that I actually did say this at a certain time. And I was overlooking some of the things that I thought were very interesting. There's a passage from May 9th. That sounds quite prescient for what's up and down with JJ jabs and whatnot. I basically said, let's see, the future forward, if the spike proteins keep mutating, it will evolve new strains of COVID-19 like annual new strains of the common influenza.
Wow.
Doctors would have to guess each winter which vaccine could be counted upon, and that there would be a continuing of a perennial flu-like pandemic to immunize. Now, that was way back in May when no one really saw that, and that came in. The next is, I have oracular concerns about the much-anticipated second outbreak. I foresee it hitting after the U.S. elections later in November into December 2020 and throughout the winter months of northern hemisphere region in 2021. The world could be sequestered again while it keeps mutating, staying ahead of 60 different efforts to create a vaccine, each mutation potentially bringing many of these back to the lab. The drawing board, if global coordination breaks down. I mean, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and so on.
You predicted that in Nostradamus' quatrains that he said something about a COVID-19. Explain that.
Yes, it's very common of people who are in the Nostradamus field to try very easily to find what they want to see in Nostradamus.
Right.
And because they're cloudy verses, and it's like, as I've said before, it's a lot of things people have to do, about 20 years of study of the French and stuff to really get a sense of this, I contend. And so what happens is, if you're seasoned at this, you're not easily tricked by what you want to find. But I've got to say, and this book will show, that I was quite amazed how many things really leaped out, and I could not say I had to consider them. For instance, in Quatrain 75 of Volume Century 3, this prophecy starts off with naming all the places by certain place names representing the whole country, which is the thing Nostradamus does. So he starts off, it says, Paul. The town of Paul in southwestern France, that's France. Verona, Vicenza, that's Italy. Saragossa, Spain. So he's in the first line, he's named his own country, Italy and Spain, which rapidly were the first to get the second strain coming from all the 100,000 Chinese workers that were coming back from China and the new Chinese New Year's. And they came back in January. And that's in all those towns are in northern Italy, too. And it comes up several times. Also, there's a number of quatrains talking about a plague spreading through northern Italy and Milan, and they're numbered 19.
Jeez.
Which is like 2019. There's also a astrological statement that would place one of the dates would be December of 2019, which is when the pandemic was spreading. So anyway, he says, Paul, Verona, Vicenza, and Saragossa, swords from distant lands damp with blood. Now, the distant land is China. Swords, if you understand 16th century idioms, and the swords and arrows were often weapons that were invisible, shot by demons, hitting people with the plague. And that was how people tried to explain in their 16th century versions of a conspiracy theory going south what germs were, what fleas were doing off the rats that they didn't understand and they could not make the correlation, what germs even were. People didn't even know what germs were. So the swords dripping with blood from distant lands, blood represents the immune system. It also starts into a theme that's in a lot of Nostradamus' plague prophecies. He was a plague doctor, famous plague doctor in the 1540s in France, fighting bubonic plague in South France. He keeps talking about blood being an important vector or infected part of this plague, and we know that first, we thought it was the SARS-style virus, COVID, was just invading the lungs. But later we found, even while I was writing this book, the scientists began to see that it actually did great damage to the cardiovascular, and it was the blood clots that was doing most of the killing.
Does he talk about Wuhan at all?
Yes, he does. But before I get to Wuhan...
Okay, hold on for a second, John. We're at the break, so that's a perfect place for us to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. A discussion with John Hogue about Nostradamus and some of his predictions of COVID-19. We'll be talking more with John when we come back in next hour as well, and we'll also open up the phone lines next hour here on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Time permitting, we'll take phone calls with John Hogue next hour. John, we were talking about Nostradamus and Wuhan, but you said right before that there was something else you wanted to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is the... there is definitely something about Wuhan, and there is also, since Nostradamus seemed to kind of watch it like a movie, the future, he would pick up perhaps on something that was broadcast still today, that little sea mine looking like a facsimile of this husky shell with the protein spikes. Which looks like a mine that you touch a ship off with, you know, and it's what the coronavirus hypothetically looks like. And so the next line after the swords from distant lands damp with blood is, a very great plague will come with a great husk shell-like pod. Relief near, but the remedies far away. Now, relief has, in an ironic way, in the 16th century, pessimistic humor. It's like the relief of people dying quickly from this who are fatally affected. But the remedies are far away, even though, you know, to be fair, the remedies are coming at breakneck speed with the vaccines. But the far away is this long and lingering shutdown, and, you know, people are weary of it. That seems to be implied by that. Now, to the other quatrain that talks about the source of this, this is quatrain 65 of Century Volume 6. He calls it, the sloping park, great calamity, will be done through the land of the West and Lombardy. Now, what that means, it says, fire in the ship, plague in captivity, Mercury in Sagittarius, Saturn Sith will cut. Now, it takes training to look at all that gobbledygook and kind of understand in the 16th century what a lot of this means. What I found out, the first thing I asked is there a sloping park or something like that called Sloping Park in Wuhan, which was the source of it? And so I had my contacts in China and other people from Thailand who were there look at it, and they came up with a very interesting thing. There is a riverbank park that took out where all the piers, where all the junks, Chinese junks used to be, and it's a sloping park. They call it a sloping park. It's officially called the Wuhan Yangtze Jiangtan Park. It's a long thing that meanders with the Yangtze River that passes through the three major cities that Wuhan comprises of. And it's about 140 meters or 140 feet of slope. It's a riverbank. It's a very beautiful park. And it's sloping park. The other thing is that Brooklyn has Park Slope, which is an unusual name. And so it's possible these are the two first major outbreak cities of this plague. Wuhan and New York City were certainly the worst.
That's true.
Now, so looking at that line again, the sloping park, perhaps Wuhan and New York, great calamity, that's for sure, will be done through the land of the West, America, and Lombardy. So America, Hesperica Insurbe, Hesperiae, is the land of the stars, or the evening star. So it was like the farthest west beyond the horizon of Europe you could go from a Greek, ancient Greek point of view.
And speaking of west, though, didn't it start in here in Seattle?
Well,
in
yeah,
those nursing homes?
You could say, yeah, even just very near to me, just across the water from my island was Kirkland, where the first outbreak happened. So in the West, and of course there's a play with the mythology involved with that term, because Hesperiae is the daughters of Hesperia, who are the daughters, they're Titans, who are daughters of Atlas, who was punished by going to the extreme west end of the world to hold up the heavenly spheres forever. And so it's bundles of stars and things, and he might be trying to explain the stars of the United States flag, that he's holding up the spheres, the stars. And so that's one possibility. What is less subjective is that he names Lombardy again after several other times. That is Milan. That is the area where the initial worst outbreak in Europe exploded. Because Milan is the center of Gucci and all the high-end clothes designers. Most of the laborers working on those clothes are working in factories from China, working in Milan. And, of course, as I said before, they came back from the Chinese New Year infected, and that was the trigger that triggered the fire, the explosion of the plague in Europe. Now, again, the Mercury in Sagittarius, Saturn Scythe will cut. That dates around, that's that thing I was saying earlier about the astrological statement that was something that happened around December of 2019 when it really started leaving Wuhan and starting to enter Italy and the following months. And so it's it has a lot of possible there. Now, fire in the ship is the ship of the Holy See, the papacy. And plague and captivity, that's for all of us shut down across the world. We were captives of this plague. We couldn't go out. We couldn't work.
That's right.
And so mass lockdowns are implied by that. So there's a lot of there.
Did he imply, John, that this disaster would occur during our time period, or was it during his period?
Well, it's interesting because I think it's our time, because there are a number in the book. I look at a number of I look at all of his plague predictions. And the thing he's most famous about that, and by the way, just to say, to answer that, the actual time that Mercury transited Sagittarius in this period of time was the 11th to 29th of December, 2019. So that was the period when things were starting to unleash and spread into the world from this Wuhan source of the plague. So I think it's more about our times.
And didn't he talk about the plague would come in spurts and there'd be more than one?
Well, the thing I try to untangle from the 16th century mind is that even the common cold could be considered a plague.
In those days, that's true.
Yeah, la peste. And so in the book, I have a whole chapter where I look at all the ways in which he would call something a plague that we wouldn't, like the invisible plague of the two scourges that hit two ports with an explosion and an event that had never before been seen, casting people out by the sword and by an invisible plague. And a lot of people, because of some of the dating of it, kind of in the quatrain, possibly, it sounds like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which are two ports that were hit simultaneously by a scourge never seen in war before. Well, atomic blast is certainly a possible candidate for that. And the invisible plague within, which he'll talk about in other parts where it's inside you, I mean, I have a segment in the book looking at a man who was one of the first casualties, a Canadian scientist who was working on the plutonium bomb, and he was trying to do a test, and he moved something, it slipped, and he actually got radiated heavily with plutonium, and he was the first person they could actually watch die of radiation sickness, because I think this was before the bomb was actually dropped on anyone. And they said he had three-dimensional burning, that the radiation had burned his organs as much as they had burned his skin on the outside in the one blue flash that happened when he was able to, with his hand, to save everybody else in the lab by putting his hand over the cap and capping off the plutonium, which slipped, and suddenly there was this blue light everywhere for a moment as the atoms cooled. It's quite a story, and it's all documented. So, you know, a plague from within, you know, that is a 3D plague. You've been photographed by a radiological blast, you know. And so a lot of that is there. And there's also an interesting correlation to his unraveling prophecy themes, which is, again, all of this is potentials, and he was definitely not a person who believed in prophecies being written in stone. I think there's so many alternative futures, some of them documented clearly in his own time, that proves that he saw these as possibilities, and it's only our unconsciousness and habitual ways that make us stumble into these catastrophes. We don't have to be that if we were more alert and awake what is happening. And I mean, it all stems around the fact that the third and final Antichrist, Napoleon and Hitler were the first, the third is alive in our time. Mabus is his code name. Hister was for Hitler, and Napoleonois, Napoleon, King Napoleon was for Napoleon. He talks about, Mabus will very soon die, and so at the date of that time, around that happens, will come a horrible unraveling of people and animals. Now, this is an unusual way he's using his words in 16th century French. He's literally talking about the world or the world of people and animals, as if ecologically as well, the animals are in an extinction right now, and the unraveling of the world is sort of this potential is kind of looming around as we all kind of feel it, you know, where things, structures are just kind of coming apart. Normal systems of governance and economy are kind of stretched thin. We're all kind of waiting to see what's going to, you know, what the boom is going to lower somewhere. And that theme is taken up again from Quatrain 62 of Century 2. It's taken up again in one of his famous but rare prose prophecies, which is this kind of stream of consciousness thing where he's literally bouncing around in time. And he comes back at this one point and talks about the Antichrist returning, this second and final Antichrist, which is already defined earlier, I mean third. After that, the Antichrist will be the infernal prince again, and for the last time, that means he's the third, all the kingdoms of Christianity, even those of the infidels, which would be the Middle East and stuff in his case, will tremble for the space of 25 years, and there will be more grievous wars, battles, and there will be towns and cities and chateaus. Long story short, great effusion, chaos, breakdown, balkanization. And so many evils shall be committed by the means of Satan, the infernal prince, that almost the entire world shall be found undone and desolate. Then he, like a classic dyslexic move of his, he then ends it with what is the thing that's going to happen to be the portent of this. And he says, before these events, many strange birds will cry in the air now, and sometime later vanish.
Interesting.
Now, there's a number of possibilities with that, which I go into all of them. One is it's anything from a new religious movement that has a bird symbol on it, all the way to the fact that a strange bird is perhaps not a bird at all. If it's a strange bird, it might be a bat.
That's just what we need.
One of the culprits that may have been in the chemistry set experiments going on in Wuhan that somehow got out into the atmosphere. And I mean, that is one theory, and certainly the lab was famous, and I have the documentation to show that a lot of people were concerned about security of keeping things from not accidentally just getting into the trash that should not have been there. And so, and you know, this is not that's just to blame China, but all virology labs across the planet that are major labs playing around with experimenting.
That's right.
Which is kind of dangerous, because if you make something up, you take a bit of this genetics from a pangolin, this from a bat, and then suddenly you've got something that maybe you have to fight. But if it gets outside, then you've created this weird thing that
intentionally or otherwise. I want to ask you about Dean Koontz for a moment, if I can, John. Back in 1981, he came out with a book called The Eyes of Darkness. And he called the virus in that book the Gorky 400. He was blaming Russia for it. But in 1989, he updated the book and wrote about this virus, which he said was going to be used in warfare as a biological. He called it the Wuhan 400. Now, that's bizarre, isn't it?
It's one of those fascinating and rare things that happens. It's like the guy who Morgan Freeman, or I can't think of his, Morgan Robertson, not the actor, but Morgan Robertson, who 12, 14 years before the Titanic sank, had a book where a ship almost exactly described like the Titanic hits an iceberg on a moonless night in April. You know, the death toll is almost the same. The lifeboat problem's the same, and he called it the Titan.
Yeah, just fantastic. And then there was another.
He had an astral emissary, he said, that helped him write.
Could have been the spirit of Nostradamus.
one wonders.
So where does this all take us as you look at this, and the book's coming out next month, of course, Nostradamus, Coronavirus and the Pandemic Prophecies. Where does this all take us? I mean, the guy's pretty uncanny and accurate, isn't he?
Well, yes, and it takes us through the gauntlet of an evolutionary crisis, you know, a travail, hopefully towards a new birth. A travail, like a contraction of the womb, only it's a contraction of, you know, we just happen to be living in a time of a great cycle of centuries renewing.
What a time to live. John, we're going to come back and talk more and take calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.